G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett and today we are doing our You Suck show where we reminisce of all the bad calls that we've made throughout the year. And to do that is, as always, is Stevie Fizz. How you doing, mate?
I'm good. I'm just a little bit disappointed. There won't be much of me on this show if we're reviewing bad takes. Obviously, I'll be flying through as our home league champion this year. Jono just nutted this season completely. So I guess I'll just be listening to you boys prattle on about, Well, I look forward to hearing.
No, that's all right. We've dug very deep into the archives and found some dirt on you, Stevie boy. So don't worry about that. And the man from Tassie, he's sitting there gloating. Looks like he's gloating for no apparent reason. It is the Statesman. And how are you today?
Well, I don't know what Steve's talking about, to be honest. I think I remember I was top three maybe in AFL fantasy and top 1,000 in Supercoach and top 20. Oh, actually, it was top 120-odd in Real Dream Team. I dropped right away in that competition. So much for saving my trades. Isn't that amazing, come the salary cap models, that I purely and simply now, with AFL Fantasy being my one and true love in that type of model, is I cannot save a trade in the other two formats. Just impossible. I've got to start on Sunday and trade. It's the first thing I've got to do. And it's almost like the first 6 weeks of any of my draft leagues, I have to put a trade offer out there. I need to get something going. I'm not first. Let's make a deal. But I'm wonderful. Thanks, Jono.
Good to hear. And the third McLaughlin brother, I don't know if he had a hand in Razor Ray's umpiring on the weekend, but it is Cam McLaughlin himself. And he will be adjudicating the hot takes that we've got for you today as well. Welcome to you, Cam.
Yeah, g'day guys. And to give everyone a bit of an overview on the rating system for today, it's on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being Jack Billing's season and 5 being Haim's proposed rule changes. So we'll keep going with that and I'm going to get the ball rolling on my own.
Mr. McLaughlin. I just wanted to just to highlight that there is one of us four that actually does have access to AFL Grand Final tickets this year. It's no pressure.
Oh, okay.
Because you lost AFL Fantasy.
by a handball.
So I'm going to get the... Look, because I was out of the recordings for most of the year, and so I figure there may not be much on me, or if anything. So I'm going to throw myself under a bus here. In the round 4 injury report, I said that Rory Sloane's ankle or foot injury was only going to be a niggle and that he'd be right the following week. Didn't play again until round 14. So...
It's a long niggle.
Ripper.
A long niggle.
And I'll rate that probably a 3 on the scale.
If that was... you were doing the medical report for Collingwood and they just listed as someone as 2 to 3, that's about the length they tend to miss. So that's... You could get an AFL job out of this. This is perfect.
Yeah, I think that's my application for the Pies Med staff. Yeah. Looking good.
But before we get into all the horrible calls we made, we actually had some pretty good takes throughout the season and a few funny jokes. And we've got it all individualised. And I know I'm going to get absolutely battered in the you suck part of it. So I'm going to kick it off with my good calls for the year. He's from one of he's one of the players from my team, and that's Luke Dalhouse. He had an ADP this year of 34, but there is no way he's going to return that sort of value if you get him at around 34. Average 19 Supercoach, 88 in Dream Team. Look, with averages like that and the forwards we've lost this year, that's putting him inside an F1 position for 2018. You are not taking him as an F1. But how do you rack up that amount of money in bloody pornography? Isn't pornography free these days?
Well, I would have thought so.
I don't know. Maybe he likes it old school style, just with a big centerfold. Someone who probably likes the old big centerfold is our Tasmanian correspondent, the Statesman. Welcome to you, mate. I've actually got lunch meat was that in at number 8 with the training with the midfield group. It is time for him to break out. Essendon do have the best drugs going around, so they're going to keep him on the park for the whole season. The ginger-haired genetic freak in Vlosten defender up against the ginger-haired freak of Clayton Oliver with Steve. I was out in the Mogo Zoo while on my mini honeymoon, and just in the enclosure there was kids to the right of me, and the monkey just starts flinging the poo at the kids and it just bounced off the window. Best thing you've ever seen. Kids just start screaming and running away. I love these monkeys. They're just your standard chimpanzees, but any monkey is a good monkey. So my next sleeper is Paul Seisman from the Adelaide Crows. He had an ADP of 268. There we have it. I can actually make a good call every now and again.
Geez, it must have taken you a long time to find those, Steve.
It was really hard because a lot of what Jono says is so safe and so vanilla. And let's face it, he's not exactly making anyone laugh on a minute-by-minute basis. So the fact that he's actually made us laugh a couple of times was pretty impressive. So I sort of slid them in there, but... That was a nice call on Devin Smith, played the every game. You were those Essendon drugs. They must still be floating around, Jono. What do you got against redheads, though? Jesus.
It's not redheads. It's just Vlosten. Just Vlosten. I do like Clayton Oliver. He's actually a good player.
Mm.
Well, Staceman, you did actually make some good calls this year, so let's have a listen to what you've got.
Gentlemen. The second one is gut feel. And if we base our decisions on Jono's gut feel theory, then we're going to get more wrong than right. Number 5 is pate and water crackers. Pino, hey,
do you reckon,
pate.
What do you reckon Archie's doing? Is he awake yet?
Pate, yeah, I'll give him a call. I got his number. Who have you got as your second burn man there, Staceman?
Well, I'm going to continue to upset people. So Michael Hurley for Essendon, the defender for Essendon, he had a standout year in 2017. A very good player, but if you invest in him so highly in picking him in the first 4 rounds, he will burn you.
Staceman, what the hell do they call it there in Tassie?
Well, I will say I moved to WA early in my adult life, part of my working experience, and I rocked up at the fish chip shop in Fremantle and it said scallops 20 cents. I could not believe that I could come from Tasmania and I could buy freshly Tasmanian scallops at 20 cents a pop. So I ordered 2 dozen. And for some reason, that was the biggest scallop package I've ever got in my life. But I thought, no, that's fine. There must be just big scallops over here. I went and got myself a little bit of vinegar, a little bit of tartar sauce, a little bit of salt. Opened it up, ready to display, and there was 20 potato cakes in one package. You're kidding me.
20 potato cakes. Well done there, Statesman. Well done.
Sad day.
I think it describes his listener league. Oh, his keeper league team pretty nicely, actually. Just 20 potato cakes.
Can I say I'm a little bit worried that the only good call I made was Hurley was a dud, so I'm not looking forward to the you suck part of it.
And, Steve, you may have won the... you didn't win, sorry, the Keeper League last year, but you did come runners-up, but...
I won it last year, just to make sure you understand that, Jono. I won it last year, yep.
That's all right.
Are you sure?
Right. The Statesman did.
Do you understand that now?
I do. I did come runners-up as well with Steve. That's where I'm getting confused.
Ah, right.
But he did make some good calls this year.
The reason I wanted to bring up Brad Ebert is simply the truth. He's about to be a burn man bag, so I've taken the goon bag in the shower. I don't know. Goon in the shower is a bit of a... It's not great. And, of course, my fantasy best and fairest is the great man, Jesse Hogan. It could only be. People are picking Charlie Kurnow over Jesse Hogan, which just blows my mind. If Jesse Hogan doesn't outscore Charlie Kurnow, I'll run the bloody 90-mile beach. Like, just forget about it. I really don't see how he doesn't average over 88 as long as he stays fit. I'd absolutely kill Grant Denyer to save a platypus. I'm going to start off with a treat. A treat. You know, when you go to the door, sometimes the people throw out the lollies, and I'm going to assume the fun-sized chocolates are the good treats. Well, this is a Werther's original. This is kind of a crappy treat. It is still a treat, though, and I'm talking about Ed Kurnow. All right? One of Jono's favourites, but look, Ed Kurnow springs to mind as actually a half-decent fantasy option next year.
It's a new sport. Something that you as a cat lover would
hey,
like.
Hey, they should do that down at St Kilda instead of tossing midgets. They just toss dogs. Like, that'd be... Did I just say toss dogs?
You mad.
Tom Hawkins. I've already been 18. Give me all the Tom Hawkins, mate. He's turned the corner.
Really?
You give me that. Hey, you give me Gary Ablett, Dangerfield, Selwood, Mitch Duncan kicking it down his throat. He's the only game in town. How are you not ranking him up there? I've got Shannon Hearn in at 15. I'm really all above the Shannon Hearn train this year. I think Yo will play midfield. I think that means intercept marks galore for Shannon Hearn and Jeremy McGovern. I will say, God, I'm so high on this. I'm not high on him in my ranks, but I'm really keen to get Harris Andrews in my team. I know the averages are so low, but just that Luke Hodge thing, I reckon he's going to be the intercept marker.
Look out for this trend, Jono. You notice that you and I just had one little segment, and then Steve just piles it on Mr. Editor himself. Remarkable. I should have spent a bit more time doing this, I tell you. Bad move. But they were some good calls there, Jono, by the way.
So did Hogan outscore Charlie Kurnow? Because he did miss a few games there.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
What I'd like to know.
Well, he did say that his average was over 88 in AFL Fantasy, at least, was 89, and Kurnow was 73. So quite easily, to be honest.
Yeah, well, no, certainly gave myself the good cut. But actually, because I timed everything out around 2 minutes, and they were all around 2 minutes. It's just that I don't, you know, take 3 weeks to say a sentence like you slow pricks.
Or we're actually more entertaining.
There's a tumbleweed. I've crossed the Skype call.
Look, we've had the good calls, but this show is not a good call, pat yourself on the back. It is, you suck. We are now going to get into the calls.
Sorry, just before, everyone knows these are all pre-season. This is, everything is pre-season.
Yes, so. Exactly right. So about January, I think we started doing this. So, Cam, get your paddles for scoring out, because here comes my first, you suck. I'm going to go with my treat, and that's Cyril Rioli. I'm looking forward to him next year. He only did the PCL in this year, where he was out for 8 to 12 weeks, so he did miss the second half of the year. Not so much Dream Team relevant. As we know, small forwards rely on the possessions and the big goals, lots of goals to get them to score. Whereas with Cyril, he gets to 14, 15 disposals, might kick you 2 or 3 goals, but he's pressure action tackles and whatnot is what gets him his score. So a 90 averaging forward for next year is what I'm looking for. And he's only not even going to be 30 next year, Statesman. So if you do want to get back into Supercoach, you could have a look at him, because a 90 averaging forward, small forward, do not grow on trees in these fantasy games.
And you're right, Jono. A player that plays 4 games and averages 38.8 does not grow on trees at all. You are spot on, mate, and I hope you go back-to-back on that one.
Oh, my goodness. That was almost painful to hear. I'm sitting there thinking, gee whiz, how do you rate something so terrible? You force someone to retire.
Yep.
He's forced a few blokes to retire. No, that's a low bar to cross for old Jono. How's Curtly Hampton going these days?
Yep, he's in the retirement team. He's getting there.
That's a 4 out of 5, by the way. That is just putrid. It's a good start, mate.
I can see.
I'm going to tally these scores, by the way, so that we can have an aggregate at the end.
Well, the first two poor, mate. Look on your face when the first two words of Cyril Rioli came out. You just died, and that was an automatic 4 right there.
Yeah, lucky you didn't get a 5, mate. I thought I'd start slow because I have a feeling they're going to get worse before they get better.
Yeah.
Yep. They certainly are. Statesman, it's your turn, mate.
Mena effing Gola.
F's for forward?
F is for forward. My forward line in my keeper league, in our keeper league, is looking pretty right now. We were all talking about how good my midfield was. But when you get Menegola, Billings, Boak, Akers, and possibly Lambert. We haven't heard about Lambert, have
Lambert's
we?
Lambert's in. Lambert's forward.
And Lambert, that is secured. My forward line is looking wonderful. Don't have to worry about Westhoff in the dual position. Can I say there are times where I just need to learn when to shut up? Sam Mena effing Gola was fine.
That's fine.
It's just everything else that come after it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still, look, it's no Jono, but I'm going to give it a, I'll give you a 1 for that one, Statesman. You've started low. And by the way, this is a golf scoring system, so we want the lowest possible score.
So in golf, are we, no, that won't, I'm thinking of a different game, that's okay. But Steve, your
buddy,
turn.
You're still definitely coming last at the moment, buddy.
Yeah, there's no way out of this hole. Steve, your turn, pal.
But the two that I think you're really missing is I've got number 6, Rory Lobb. I'm obviously super hot on him this year, but it's just the role. I'm certain he's going to play that role, and I'm certainly hotter on him than a number of other guys. And Jared Roughead, I've got at number 7. You just can't deny the scores and the durability. Coming off the missed time, he was fantastic. I see Hawthorn bouncing back in a big way this year. Oh, I can't leave him out.
6 and 7s, in your forwards. Smashed it out of the park.
Yeah, I had trouble around that 6-7 range, forwards and backs. Lucky forwards don't matter. Is that not
well,
I don't know if that counts. And to be fair, between the two of them, Lob averaged 66.8 and Roughhead 73 AFL fantasy points. Mm. So, mate, you're copping a 2 for that one.
Not my best work.
Oh, but some of my best work is about to happen right now. Well, seeing as you two blokes have gone for the treats, I'm getting the eggs and the dunny paper out and ready just to fire at this new GMBHA stadium, whatever the hell it's called. I'm going big here. It's Joel Selwood. He is a trick for next year.
Look,
he is turning 30 next year. The way he plays.
So you're on the bandwagon.
Really worried about Joel Selwood for next year.
So how much did Joel Selwood increase this year?
Quite significantly.
So he's finished on it.
Just the 6 points and Dream Team and 3 points in Supercoach. So pretty good year for Joel.
Maybe save that one for next year.
Play every game too.
Interesting.
He's had a ripper. I don't know. The fact that that's actually in the pod is probably a bit bigger question, but I'll give you, John, I like you, mate. I'll give you 2 for that one.
Oh, good. There's a chance to be redeemed. I'm not sure if the Statesman can be redeemed from this call.
So I'll move on, seeing we're talking about Doherty, to my next treat, being Dom Sheed West Coast Eagles. Is good, especially with Pritis and Mitchell gone. He'll become one of the mainstays in the new-look Eagles midfield. In points per minute, he was second only to Luke Shuey this year at the Eagles, with much less time in the centre. This will increase, and so will his time on ground. I'm expecting 100 to 105 average next year. It's not Uber, but it is premium, and placing him in the top 20 scorers for next year. So Dom Sheed, gentlemen, I'm saying he's going to move into the top 20 of scorers in 2018.
Can I say,
he actually should have been. I do not know what's happened there. Even the final against Collingwood, outstanding. As soon as Gaff left, outstanding.
There it is.
So yeah, it's one of those where terribly wrong, but should have been right.
It was Dom Sheed's fault that he fell off 12 points, 12 points a match. All his fault.
And playing in the waffle.
15 games and 74 average, well below.
That didn't put him in the top 20.
Nowhere near it. So far away. And I reckon if you invested in him, whatever format you're talking about, if you invested in him, you would have invested a fair bit this year. Him and Redden, you would have invested a fair bit with. And they were disgraceful. Andrew Gaff picked up all the extra points.
Yeah. Your first problem is you listen to Archie.
Oh, I'm never listening to the man from Bunbury again. In fact, that probably deserves a 4, listening to Archie.
Mate, you're about to get a 4 anyway.
And well deserved, yeah.
So lock it in.
Do you know what? I'm quite serious about this. If Gaff goes, I'm backing in Sheed again to break through properly.
Yeah. I would agree.
Definitely. Absolutely. I think Steve, he started off a bit slow in the box, and I think he's actually given himself a couple of easy ones here. Have a listen. And who's your second pick there for your sleeper, Steve?
Sandwiched between a couple of high-ish draft picks and actual real sleeper, and that's Mitchell Hibberd from North Melbourne, who's going to be listed as a defender. There's points and opportunity for North Melbourne. Mitch Hibberd, he's been on the list a couple of years now, and he's shown the ability, like, he just profiles as someone who can be Aaron Mullett, but just a fraction better.
Can I say, at least my bloke played. He got a game.
I was going to say, he might actually profile more as someone who gets delisted, but that's fine. That's what happens.
I find it funny that within one comment you've listed Mitchell Hibberd will be a slightly better Aaron Mullett, both delisted.
I'm pouring one out for Aaron Mullett. He was my boy for so long.
It wasn't Mullett delisted from two clubs now?
Was he delisted
Carlton as well? Yeah.
North?
Yeah, sure. He was.
Yeah. No,
yep.
He'll find a room somewhere. Maybe.
Well, maybe Mitch Hibberd can take this guy's spot next year. 18, Birchall. 19, T-Mac. And Birchall. 20...
Birchall?
He's injured.
He'll be right. It's bloody...
He's 64 and played 2 games in the last decade.
But what's his series?
80-85. That's it. That's all he needs. That's his average. 80-85. You look at the data. That's all he's pumped out his whole career. 80-85. Just plays in his box. That's it.
You should get in. You get in your box, John.
Yeah, Birchall's not in my group of hope.
I think I've got Birchall at like... He's like 47.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm high on him this year. I've got him high in most...
He doesn't make my list of six that just missed out.
Wow. All right. It's interesting. For a guy who averages around the 80 every year, he's just solid 80 defender. When you look at his data, so
he didn't make the top 20 either, mate.
No, just missed out with Sheed.
Sheed played. Hey, look, at least you didn't put Birchall on the field and cop a really bad score. That's what I'll say there. You knew he was going to miss every single match.
Well, I thought you were going to put the call in where I said he's going to be a perfect D3 this year. Well, that's what I was waiting for.
Only in a 2 defender league.
You really died on Grant Birchall Hill this year. Like, I died on Warren Bob Hill. That's fine.
That's it.
And, I'm just going to load you up with another 4 there, mate, because that's the second hawk that you've just thrown down the chute, so...
Yeah, and we're going to keep on with the Hawthorn defenders there, Statesman. This is what you had to say about probably one of their best.
The big one. James Sicily. What? Not even top 20?
No.
No. I've got him at 12. Ooh. I got no concerns.
He's in my group of despair, which is my next group of 10. And the reason why the despair is James Sicily, once all the players come back in, there was a requirement for Dunstan and Sicily to play back. I just can't see him playing back next year when their defenders return. Well, way wrong on the positioning, way wrong on his scoring. But only actually, he still was a selection of despair. Only played 14 games.
Yeah, he can play someone else when he plays. That's rough.
As an owner, he was not a good player to own this year.
Well, I had him in a home league and he was bloody unreal. He was a top averaging in Supercoach. I know you're not Supercoach, but still averaged 95 in Dream Team. Like, he only had, what, two scores under 80. And in Supercoach, he was the number one forward because he had the both things and 105 average.
I will say, in my defence, Blake Hardwick scored more points in the season than Sicily did.
Oh, seasonal. So you left Sicily on the field getting donuts. You didn't just switch in someone else.
Of course.
See, for me, like that gets an official rating of 1, I think, because
what?
Yeah, so
what?
And I've got a reason.
Hey buddy, that's
no,
why
no,
I brought
no.
up the tickets right from the start, Steve. You had your way by able to edit the right things. I had my bribe. We're scamming Jono here, Steve. Get on board.
That's right. Geelong aren't even in the finals anymore, so he doesn't care.
I've got legitimate reason for that. Sicily missed all of the finals. So if you had him from the start,
he's not
winning
the finals.
Yeah, and then you're out in straight set.
Oh, shit. I had Sicily in my home league. Still won. Replaced him with jobbers every single week.
Were you playing in a league that included Jono?
He beat me in the grand final.
Enough said. No,
whatever. He returned value.
You had Sicily. He had Grant Birchall. That gave you, just in AFL fantasy scoring, 1,338 points ahead of Jono.
I'm always fascinated by the coaches who use the season-long score as the Bible.
Yeah, and I did that when we discussed Gary Ablett the other year, whether he's a good pick or a bad pick. It's one of those things, but as soon as you're starting to rely on people to replace for you, especially when you're talking about the finals, you have got riskier options that are scoring lower. So you've got 70 averaging ones, which can give you a 50 in your grand final, which you can lose a game in. It's just riskier.
Yeah.
Gee.
Like we said, you're injury prone until you're not. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can't predict all those things.
A broken
like
hand,
Smith,
the one that
Kevin
he has
Smith,
as well.
Oh, misses. Well, he just played 22 games.
Well, we predicted he was going to be suspended a couple of times this year. And guess what? He was suspended a couple of times this year.
I can suspend you, mate.
well, the one thing I did get wrong was... I picked that Sicily was going to go forward, and if anyone was going to swing back, it'd be Gunston. It actually ended up being the other way.
He was fine.
Yeah, I don't think Sicily is going to move out of defence, and I think he's a good pick moving forward.
Someone who didn't move forward was this pick by Steve.
The number one dream team ruckman. Of course, I'm talking about Brody Grundy from Collingwood. Averaged 106, Dream Team and 97 Supercoach. He was number 5, but does enter as the 4th-ranked ruckman on Supercoach from last year's average. Mumford retired. So I'm telling you that last year's number 1 Dream Team ruck will burn you like a Caroline Reaper, chilly in your jocks, Jono, if you don't mind. And people will just look, Brody Grundy, top of the list, bang, he's my number 1 ruckman. You're just not going to get any value on that. Just an absolute folly. Wait on your ruck. Don't take Brody Grundy.
You may have gotten value.
Wow.
Did you get Grundy mixed up with Cox? I'm not too sure on that one.
No, well, because Cox... Wow. And I will defend this take. I will defend this take because I still think it was good process. Because in the first match, Cox was still splitting the ruck. And it was one of the only times, it was his highest hit out amount of the year. He spent certainly more time in the ruck in that match in round one. Only went over 11 hit outs in one other match. I think Bucks just saw the error of his ways and just said no more. And Grundy scored terribly in that first match, one of his only three matches where he scored under 100. I think the process was good. The result was bad. Yes, if you drive off the Brody Grundy, spit in my face, that was fine.
I think the Brody Grundy call of yours was similar to the Dom Sheeb one of mine. In other words, I believe that there was enough signs there to say that you were on the money. But I will say, and if we remember correctly, he was averaging over 111 when he was rucking on his own and 91 when Cox was there. I still think he was a good ruckman with Cox, but he was certainly hampered by about 20 points. So I understand why you made the call.
Yeah, I would go back to the Sheed one, and I'll agree to a point that it was good process. But when I talked about Shannon Hearn, one of the reasons I love Shannon Hearn was one of the things that wasn't talked about in the preseason that I had as a thing was Elliot Yeo going into the midfield for the West Coast Eagles, and I think that was really discounted. And if Gaff does indeed leave, I think Elliot Yeo has the potential to be a top five midfielder.
Yep.
But yes, we saw Sheed went inside and Redden actually started spending more time on the wing. So I think, we'll sort of around the mark. Sometimes, like, if your process was okay but you didn't get the result, sometimes that happens.
Yeah, absolutely. So so well edited, Steve.
What do you mean?
I know.
I was lucky I stumbled into that argument after I prepared that bit.
And
I'm actually rate that one the exact same that rated Statesman's Dom Sheed call, because I agree the process was 100% correct. I had Brody way down on my list as well, but I just didn't say it out loud. So that's a 4, and just halfway through, guys. So we're 3 rounds in, and I'll give a quick score update. We got Jono on 10,
yes,
tied with Steve on 10. And Statesman coming in number one at the moment, 6.
Aladdin.
Someone wants these grand final tickets, don't they?
Yeah, you're corrupt, man.
Is there a food and beverage package included in this as well?
I spent my day watching boxing, mate. There's nothing more corrupt than boxing.
Jeez, maybe a night at the Hilton, throw it at that in as well, too, Statesman. But seeing as I am equal top with Steve there, I'm going to swing for the fences on this next call.
Why don't you give some good vibes to Angus Brayshaw? You need some good vibes.
Ooh, no,
not if they get Harley Bellick. They won't be for Gus.
Oh!
I'm closing my lips.
I looked into Harley Bellick. He's Angus Brayshaw's replacement, basically.
Boom.
And that's another player I sent to retirement.
Donuts!
Oh, no.
Donuts, Jono.
No words.
Sorry, can we go back to research versus gut feel theory?
Fair, at the time I thought Angus Brayshaw was dead and not going to play again, and Harley Bellick was playing that role at Fremantle before he did join Melbourne. So that's why I liked it at the time.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, you can try and justify that as much as you want, mate, but you're getting a 5. just lock in the 5, all right?
Swinging for the fences.
But linking them too. So the number 2 defender, I think, in AFL fantasy, it could be number 3.
Oh, probably by average, because he missed those 3 games, so you couldn't roster him at the start of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. So, actually, you know what? I'm going to call this up just so I know right now. The number 3 averaging defender in AFL fantasy, so Laird, Yeo, and then Brayshaw. So the number 3, you're saying, is gone, and the bloke that got 0 games and delisted...
He retired.
He retired, mate. Didn't delist him. So.
Wow.
Unbelievable. But I can sleep. I can sleep soundly at night time because I did pick up Brayshaw.
Oh, I was waiting.
Underselling him. Oh, it's all strategy.
Big time, big time. That's why we do it on this show. But I don't think there's any underselling this at all, Statesman.
Brandon Ellis, I've gone for number 7, which is my surprise. I think Brandon Ellis is capable of being a 100-point player, and I think he started in the second half of the season to really get quite comfortable with where his role was. So his second half of the season was much stronger than his first half. I think Brandon Ellis could really surprise and end up being a tier one defender.
Mm.
Yeah,
was that a tier one defender in the VFL?
18 games, mate. It's a bit better than zero, which you've mentioned a couple of times so far. So, yeah, disappointing. Yep. Again, I like the thought process.
Can I run you through what a top tier defender was this year, right? Yeah, so he had 106.8, 101.6, 100.1. And then let's skip a few down, and we have, 74 for Ellis.
Yeah. In defence, this man has average around the mark.
And this is why this is a worse call than Sicily. Sicily was a bad call. Because when Sicily's out, you don't play him and get his shitty score. When Brandon Ellis was in the lineup, you played him and got his jobber scores. You can play matchups with your defenders.
No, and this is his 4 years previous to this year, average 96, 102. 89, 84, all with 22 games. There was no indication that he wouldn't be in the best 22 and no indication of the drop. In fact, it was probably, okay, this is recovery. He's shown it, he's done it before.
Statesman, all I hear, though, is 3 years of consistent decline.
Whoa!
Bang. Jeez,
no more tickets for you. They're off the table. Yeah,
there goes a 4, mate. You're lucky you're not getting a 5. You better keep those tickets on the table. Yeah, it's a 4.
Keeping in vogue with those Richmond defenders, this is what Steve had to say about them.
Really different. I've got two guys I'm really different on. I've got Bashahuli at 5. You mentioned talking about role and who's secure and what we know. Bashahuli, we know what he's going to do. And, like, you talk about the games missed. Well, I mean, he's missed games through suspension, like, you know, that's not an injury. I feel really comfortable with him. I've got, you mentioned Brandon Ellis at 7. I've got him at 6, so I'm pretty comfortable with him as well.
That's got to be a 5. He's gone the double whammy. Bashahuli only got 13 and a lower average than Ellis. That's got to be 5, Cam. Smack him.
Oh, it's rough. I'll hear from the rest of the jury. Jono, what do you got, mate? What do you think?
He has gone the double whammy. It is worth an extra point. It could come down to the last round. Let's make it interesting.
Oh, Steve, sorry, mate. You loaded up with a 5.
Good editing, Steve.
Oh.
This is not as rigged as I thought.
And going into the last round, what is the score check there, please, umpire?
Okay, so we got Jono, mate. You're on 15. Leading the way, and got Statesman on 10.
Fuck
and then we've got Steve tied on 15.
Yes!
Well, going to the last round.
You watch boxing today, mate. You should have had an idea of how to make the cards look close. That's it, Cam. I'm strampling you next week, buddy, for that Sicily bullshit.
I've lapped them all.
I'm going for the loss here. I'm taking the big L, and here's my last call. All right, finishing it off with my fantasy BNF, and that is Smoking Joe Danaher. That's right. I have picked an Essendon player. I feel sick in my guts, but I'm all about Smoking Joe Danaher this year. He's someone who can average in the mid-90s and be a F1 for sure this year. He's a durable player as well. He's a durable player as well. Three games? Three durable games, was it?
No, he played seven. He played seven. Oh, that was good.
To be fair, the whole Fantasy Best and Fairest show was an absolute shit show this year.
Oh, wouldn't it? What?
Like, I had Jesse O. Bonner. Yeah, it was Bonner and... Parker. I'm not throwing anyone else under the bus, but it wasn't a great show. No. It wasn't like the year before.
Come on, give it to me, baby.
Oh, yeah, how many games did he play?
Seven. Average of 63.
Yeah, both of those are above a five, but he's Joe Danaher, and he's actually, you know, regardless of how he played, he was getting it for the moustache, so you're getting a five for that one, mate.
You'll be OT. Couldn't get the perfect end of the round, but let's see what Statesman's got for his last call. Our first matchup is the Statesman versus Steve with Darcy Parrish and Lunch Meat himself.
Yes, I will start off being on the Parrish side of things, and I know that sounds a little bit odd, seeing I was a fan of Lunch Meat. There's no doubts about that, but look, the older I get, the more sensible I get, the more juice I drink, and I realised that Lunch Meat, especially processed Lunch Meat, is actually not good for you. Oh, that is so sad that I turned on the boy. And look, we shouldn't do that show because that's embarrassing. We take sides and make arguments that we don't agree with. I had him in every format, but look, that's just funny. That is. And Darcy Parrish, did he actually improve at all this year? I think he dropped a couple of points, didn't he? Oh, that's embarrassing.
He's gone backwards.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, that's
Lunch, sorry, Lunch Mate. End of the year,
He needs David Myers to retire like nothing else.
And another preseason.
Tell you what, though, you are getting a five for that, mate. Ooh. That is top tier filth, unfortunately, Satan.
Yep, I agree. Number one forward, yep. Candy, yep. Fair enough.
Now, Steve, as we know, is a Collingwood supporter. And they have just made it through to the preliminary final this week against the Tigers.
As we all thought, Jono. As we all thought at the start of the year.
We called it at the start of the year.
They're you and I, Stason, so well.
We knew they were going to be there at the pointy end. But, Steve, you had other ideas, mate.
I don't understand it. And just as a bonus point, Bucks out.
Oh!
Let's get that movement happening. Hashtag Bucks out.
He's game one into 2 year contract.
I was actually regretting not saying it before the game. And now I just seem terrible. If I had got it going before the game, it would have been quite funny. But
yeah, those t-shirts haven't moved. What I'm actually going to do with my Bucks out t-shirt is print across the top. Damn anyone who wanted
Bucks out.
Bucks out.
What they do with the t-shirts in the grand final. Obviously, there's two teams that play, so they've got the merch ready to go. They do send the losing team's merch over to Africa and give it to all the poor kids over there. So if you ever need, say, an Adelaide Crows Premier's t-shirt or anything like that, just head over there, and I'm sure that's where all your Bucks Out t-shirts are going to be, Steve.
Yeah, not my finest moment. We love you, Bucks. Trust in Bucks. Hashtag
Stand by Bucks.
See, unwavering faith.
See, I'm team Bucks out still, but I'm not a pie supporter. I just like to see things burn that have a magpie on them. So, Steve, I actually think that's not too bad, and especially because you can get the t-shirts back and sell them as what you've just said. That's a four.
Oh, Jono. Making
Jono the winner. Or loser of the shittest guy. I don't know. Is that the award? I don't know.
You suck. You suck.
Oh, you suck. That's better than the shit.
He's shit. Say it how it is.
That's right. Because I don't base all my fantasy stuff on salary cap because this is a draft-based podcast.
Whoa. Flip around the ears.
Wow.
Jeez, little flip.
Jeez, that's the first good thing he's done in ages. Well done, Jono.
Thank you. A couple of high-tail ales and up and about.
You just like those monkeys at the Mogo Zoo, just flinging the poo.
sling and poo and see what sticks. I think that's what we all do during the preseason. So, Cam, just run through the 3-2-1. Obviously, I've taken out the bronze medal there. In silver medal
you
is...
have. Silver medal is Steve, and he's come in just 1 point ahead of you, Jono. And then gold medal for the least shit guy is Statesman.
Statesman sucks the least. Well, well, well.
No surprise.
Yeah. Well, that was a pretty fun show. Always enjoyable doing the You Suck. I'm pretty sure there would have been a hell of a lot more content, but we like to keep it under a certain time. coming up next week, something that you all like, it's keeper decision time. So I guess the Statesman will be running through our teams, looking at who we should hold, who we should get rid of, and maybe some weaknesses in our teams, and lock it in for next week. And just to remind all the listeners out there, we have moved to Wednesdays now. So do not go looking for us on the Monday. Throughout the off-season, right up until we get back to round one, we will be dropping on the Wednesday. I think that just about wraps it up for this week. Thank you very much, guys. Good luck to all the teams out there in the preliminary final. It'd be good if there was some finals fantasy out there. They actually used to do that a few years ago. You could play fantasy through the finals, but everyone had the same team towards the end.
So play some DFS, Jono. I mean, I don't, because I don't want to play in single games. I think it's completely crap.
Everyone has the same players, I guess, and you just need that one player to have a good game to screw everyone over. But no, I've been on the EPL, having a bet on the EPL now. That's what I do in the off-season. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week with our keeper decisions.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.